Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Bitches, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show. I'm over here fucking your mother, you fucking dick knobs.
It's criminal. It ought to be a law. Criminal. It ought to be a whole lot more. You get nothing for nothing. Tell me who can you trust? We got what you found, and you got the lust. If you want blood, well, you got it. If you want blood, well, you got it.
You can do that.
Blood on the streets, blood on the rocks, blood in the gutter. Every last drop you want blood, well, you got it. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The shit that they toss to you, feeling like a prisoner, locked in a cage, thrown to the lions on the second page. If you want blood, well, you got it. If you want blood, well,
you got it. I know how you can do that.
The DJ New Style Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homo is been touching.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
No. 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 No.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffin yet?
Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. Exclusive Tuesday Night Programming. This is the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for tuning in. Episode 230. Very proud to bring this to you. And another group of people who are proud. They're from Germany. They play rock and roll. Who are they? You guessed it. Rammstein! Just want to add more. I want to add more motor noises made with fucking vocal cords. But I've said it before, it's the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for tuning in. I can't say that enough. But what I get a little tired of, I have to say, a little bit tired of, is introducing a bald, hapless fuckface named the Germfreak. Germfreak, how you doing tonight? What's going on?
You know, you make it very uncomfortable for me when during the song intro you are singing. So essentially you're singing to me, and it makes you make it very awkward.
Frank, I'm not just singing to you. I'm singing to hopefully sevens of people. That would be seven sevens of people. 49, hopefully, Frank. But you know what? If you're one of them and you want to pretend it's a solo performance, it's just perfect and private for you, then that's fine. That's perfectly fine, Frank. You're uncomfortable when I sing the intro?
Well, I mean, you're saying other people can hear it, but at the point where you're playing the intro, only I can hear you singing.
But the thing is, Frank, don't pick such a fucking up-tempo song if you don't want me to get hyped up.
So you enjoy the song?
I enjoy it. Of course I enjoy it. Why wouldn't I?
Course.
His beer is so coarse. So coarse. That's what you said when you gripped another man's beard at the Labor Day event. Just want to let you know, Frank. Well, this is the DJ New Style show. I am DJ New Style. My name is Ken, and with me, Frank the Germ Freak. He's afraid of feces and everybody else in the world. And he doesn't like when I sing to him. So, Frank, how are you? What's new?
Hey, what's up, Ken? How you doing today?
Long time no see, right?
Yeah, well, not really.
No.
I mean,
no.
You know.
I mean, as the people who may be reading my Twitter, Facebook, or Tumblr are aware, we met for lunch today.
We had a lunch date.
No, we didn't have a fucking lunch date, first of all.
I apologize.
We didn't. You don't use the word date when it's another fucking, when it's two guys, unless one of you is taking a dick in one of your openings.
I wasn't aware. I thought it was okay to call it a lunch date.
It isn't. It is not okay. Unless you're babysitting children during the day and you're meeting up with other mothers that don't work, then it's okay. If it's just you and the girls, Frank, it could be a date.
Yeah.
When it's your buddy, when it's your friend, it's never a lunch date. And it's embarrassing that you would even say that.
Well, it's embarrassing on the goose chase that you took us on.
I don't understand what you're talking about, Frank.
Ken, you told me to meet you at a certain location.
Panera. By the way, Panera.
Panera Bread.
No. Panera. Don't fucking get me started, please.
It's Panera Bread.
It's Panera.
Whatever.
You call the fucking place. You know what they say? Panera.
All right. Anyway, I was you know, near where you have your occupation, and I was near a street, and I says, all right, I'm on this street, and you said meet me somewhere else. Let's face it, you got lost going to this place.
Can I help it that there's two fucking valley roads? Can I fucking help it? When I look at the directions, and I see turn onto Valley Road, and I see a sign that says Valley Road, and I turn onto Valley Road, am I really that much of an asshole? You know what I did, Frank? I realized I made a mistake, and I fessed up to it.
You realized you made a mistake. You went and made a U-turn into some gravelly road area, some driveway, and you're sitting there calling for directions. It's just embarrassing, and people were beeping at you behind you. I mean, just I was mortified.
Frank, excuse me. You said I pulled over to find directions.
To call for directions, yes.
Yeah, I pulled over to use my GPS to get the address on my cell phone. I called the place.
The GPS that got you lost in the
Listen,
first place.
No. I didn't use it because I thought I had the directions down. So I called the establishment using 411 on my cell phone here, and I got the address from the establishment, which is Panera, and I plugged it in my GPS, and then we were on our way. Why did I pull over, Frank? Why is that so fucking central to what I'm about to say? I pulled over.
I don't know what you're talking about, and you're making a much to do about. In the words of Johnny Cochran, you're making much ado about nothing.
I pulled over out of safety, Frank. Safety.
Safety. Yet you have people behind you beeping at you.
Safety. And let me tell you something here, Frank. When you realized that I was lost and that I took a wrong turn, were you supportive?
Absolutely not. What I mocked you.
You mocked me. Well, how could you mock me? We weren't in the same car.
Easily, I sent you to...
You did.
I mocked you.
You did what?
I mocked you.
Oh, so you didn't send me seven text messages?
I had pulled over when I did that.
Okay, I see here it says, fucking tool jackass. That's one of these.
That was number one.
Yeah.
Because you got lost.
Uh-huh, okay. and you like to send picture messages with no picture on your iPhone that you're so fucking proficient in.
I don't send picture messages with no picture.
Mm, okay, that's why I'm seeing a picture message that has a blank picture, you fucking idiot.
You know what? That's not what I'm trying to do. Maybe I fucked up.
Text message sent seconds later. And it's funny, I didn't see you pull over. Frank, did you pull over to send these texts?
No, I'm able to drive and text at the same time.
Oh!
It's called multitasking.
Oh, I see. Because you're not even able to drive and drive at the same time. You can't even fucking drive when there's no other shit going on.
I disagree. I'm a very proactive, defensive driver. But anyway...
You are the fucking worst driver in the history of New Jersey. There's video out there right now. You can go to frankandbarb.com. Frank misses his exit, I believe is the video. It's proof positive that you can't do anything when you're driving. You can't multitask because you missed a perfectly clear, free and clear exit.
That came out of nowhere. That was hit.
That goddamn fucking truck. And the truck was completely not in the way.
You know, you could take things out of context and take sound bites.
What I'm saying, Frank, is that I pulled over to use my mobile devices for a positive purpose. You kept driving, endangering everybody on the road, everybody walking on the road, and everybody on the sidewalk, just so that you could rub it in a little
bit. As I was texting, I had it raised up high so that it was the same eye level as the street was.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with an unsafe driver, Germ Freak. Who's this?
It's VA Messenger.
VA Messenger, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Mr. Messenger?
Please don't charge me the first call, this phone call. Jeff, I mean, excuse me. Yeah, I'm thinking, calling the wrong show. Frank, you can't even get gas in your car.
That is true. I was running on fumes most of the week.
Yeah, well, I can't get into that now. I'm furious right now, Wes, about the texts. I'm furious.
Why was he upset that you pulled over to text message?
You're safe. No. He's upset, and he thinks it's weak of me to pull over and ask for directions and get everything set up and then begin driving. He thinks that's a character flaw on
Mike. It shows your weakness and the fact that you're a pussy.
I see.
So he's a pussy for being responsible.
With your longshoreman fucking coat.
He could get a ticket for texting while he's driving.
Oh, yeah, and that's very interesting.
I don't think there's no state law in New Jersey that says you can get a ticket while texting.
Wes, you are correct. It is illegal to text and drive. In the state of New Jersey, it is illegal. And you, Frank, had sent me, I don't know how many messages. Let's take a look at all the messages you sent while I was driving. You didn't send me any while we were at the table, and you didn't send me any while, you know, you were sitting around. You sent me things from your car while you were moving. I see here, let's see. Born Loser is one. Fuckface came a few seconds after Born Loser. You handicapped fuck. Go was another one you sent. You sent embarrassment. And these are all separate messages. I understand they're one or two words, Frank. But you had to touch a fucking touchscreen on your iPhone.
It's called iPhone.
Yeah, you had to use a touchscreen while you were driving.
I could probably text better on my BlackBerry than my touchscreen on my iTouch just because I have actual buttons.
You know, next time I see you, Wes, we will have a text off.
I want to say something to Rob Giggs. Congratulations. You have made the best observation ever. It's now that Frank has an iPhone, he's even more oblivious to the world. You get one fucking modern thing in your life, and you can't focus on anything else.
Listen, the phone you got was a stock phone you get when you sign up with the program. Okay?
When you sign up with the what?
When you sign up for the program, that's the phone you get.
I like this text message you sent while driving to me. Shame of your family.
Yes, you are the shame of your family, no doubt.
Next one was dumbass. Next one was zips. I don't even know what zips are.
Those are your sneakers. You wear zips, the big Z's.
I have New Balance sneakers. That makes
They're
no
zips.
Sense. I asked them for Adidas, but they brought me zips. Brown sneaker ass.
Yeah, you're a brown sneaker. You wear brown. The only guy I know is wearing brown sneaker zips.
Yeah, Frank.
And a fucking longshoreman jacket.
And the last
text. You gonna work on the docks tonight?
No, I'm not gonna work on the docks. I don't know. I don't know why you're so concerned with my outfit and my jacket, but maybe it has something to do with the last text, which reads, "I'm sorry, buddy. Are we still cool? Love you."
Bullshit.
weird.
Bullshit! That's a fucking lie. I would never post that bullshit.
So weird. And the,
you're a fucking liar.
I mean, I don't. I would hold it up, but it would show your number. Do you want me to show your number to everybody?
Go ahead. Okay, that's a fucking lie. I would never say that to you, you prick.
Okay, it's got your number on it. You sure you don't want what? You want people to see
I never
your...
said that. You probably texted it to yourself.
Dude, is it
oh,
real?
Oh, you had my phone for a couple minutes, you fuck.
I didn't, Frank.
No, because when we were going out to lunch, let me see your phone for a second. You took my fucking phone.
I didn't take your phone. You sent another text which says, dude, is it really illegal? Please don't tell me. I'm so scared.
You're an asshole.
P.S. Can
Pussy
I suck your
right
dick?
There.
I don't know why you put a P.S. on a text. You could just type it. I mean, it doesn't matter. And the last text was, please order me a pastry.
You're an ass. You're the fucking guy going away to fucking pastry.
Well,
this guy has a fucking... He eats a soup and a sandwich and he gets a fucking pastry on top of that.
Wes, did you happen to hear the restaurant that we went to?
The Panera, yes.
Yes, Panera. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
it's
you.
It's delicious.
It
I
is.
Love it.
It is. By the way, the name of the restaurant again, please, Wes, one more time.
It's Panera.
Thank
and the
you.
Broccoli and cheese soup and the bread bowl is delicious.
It's not that great. But it is Panera. That's the point I'm trying to make, Frank. Stop trying to be official with these fucking names. No one calls you by your entire full name. No one uses your middle name. Unless you're... What?
I don't have a middle name.
You don't have a middle name? What are you? Are you Asian?
I don't have a middle name.
That's bizarre. It's bizarre. You might not even be American.
I don't think he is.
I don't think so either. Wes, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. Are you down for a text battle next time he sees you?
We're doing a text battle next time I see you, Wes.
I can out text Frank on my BlackBerry because I have actual buttons and he has to look every time he texts.
No, you see, I took typing in ninth grade.
It doesn't matter.
I know how to
you
type.
Didn't take a typing class with an iPhone, you fucking greasy
it's
index
the same
finger.
It's fucking keypad,
fuck.
You prick. It's the letters are in the same
Frank.
Spot.
Frank, you're henpecking with your fucking greasy index finger.
Frank, I can out-type you too. I'm
Wes,
not worried about
I will
that. I can out-type you on a keyboard.
I will fucking out-type you, out-text you, out-anything, you fucker. Next time
Bullshit.
We see you, you get your BlackBerry, I'll get my iPhone, and we'll fucking text off.
Okay.
Of course, we can do that, and I can also out-type you too. I'm not worried about that.
I don't know about that.
We'll see what comes of it.
Yes.
I think this will be the most civilized competition Wes has ever been in since the good old mink skinning of 1986. Anyway, thank you very much, Wes. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
I say these things because he looks like a mountain man.
Didn't I say to put it on a side? Didn't I say to put it on a side?
What are you talking about? Put what on the side?
Nothing. No.
Are you talking to me?
No, Ken. No, I was. Whatever. Go ahead. So what were we saying?
That's weird. So anyway, we went to Panera, and we got lunch, and we met up for lunch with the intention of maybe discussing a few things for the show. And I know I got lunch, but apparently
you got a soup and a sandwich and a big. Pumpkin muffin.
Now, Frank, what was one of the gripes from last week when you took when we described our trip to Carrabba's? What was one of the gripes against you?
Ordering the same thing.
Now, Frank, you tried to do it a little differently, but apparently you heard me order a soup and a sandwich, so you felt you had to order a soup and a sandwich. But what you didn't hear was that I ordered what Panera calls a pick two, in which you order a half a sandwich and a smaller serving of soup. And you get bread on the side. You ordered a gigantic fucking sandwich and a punch bowl of fucking French onion soup.
Well, I didn't
you
know
ordered two.
Now you should have told me.
You ordered two lunches. You had two fucking lunches. And the best was when you came to pick up your food, and you took the one plate and then you didn't leave. The guy looked at you weird, and then he called the same name for the second dish. That was the best. And you come down there, and I snapped a picture of it. You can go to djnewstyleshow.com, the blog there. I'm on Tumblr, Twitter, whatever. It's all out there. And you can see a picture of Frank and his two fucking lunches. And when I call you out, and you go, dude, I didn't have no breakfast.
I had breakfast. I purposely didn't eat breakfast.
You did not eat breakfast so you could consume two lunches.
It's a fucking bowl of soup and a small little panini sandwich.
Frank,
it's not a fucking
okay, so you're saying you had one lunch at Panera.
We're not talking about a 12-inch sub at fucking Subway. It's a small little focaccia bread thing.
What kind of bread?
The focaccia bread.
Focaccia bread?
The focaccia bread? You know they have a focaccia bread?
What kind of coating is on the outside of that bread?
Cheese.
Yeah, melted cheese. And by the way, it is about the size of a 12-inch sub.
That's a lie.
It's a foot across.
That's a lie. And
they
give you the
fucking dimensions.
And the French onion soup was not like the kind you get at a diner with the nice crock with the mozzarella all like overlapping.
So anyway,
it was in a fucking bowl like a fucking McDonald's, like a fucking. These dishes are the kind you have in your fucking cafeteria in high school, for Christ's sake.
They're like, I think you called them the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch dishes.
The fucking New Age polymer dishes. But, Frank, you try to say that you had one lunch, but the thing is, at Panera, when you get your lunch, they offer you a side item, which is, what did they offer you, Frank?
You can either have bread,
yeah,
an apple, or yeah, chips.
Bread and apple or chips. Now, what did you get?
I got the selection of bread.
Twice. You have
twice.
You got two side dishes, which indicates you had two meals.
You know damn well that if they give you an apple, it's going to be a mealy,
no way,
soft.
Not true. Not true. They give you a fine
apple.
They give you a fine apple. Don't fucking disparage Panera bread. Why am I so fucking protective of Panera bread? It's a shithole that you can get a salad at.
Yeah, you're a fucking hypocrite because you just called it Panera bread. You fucking hypocrite. You embarrassment to your family. You just called it Panera bread and you're a hypocrite.
The latest text from Germ Freak, I just got it now, which is weird. You are pretty good typing. It says, Ken, I'm about to insult you. Don't take it seriously. P.S. I love you. What the fuck, Frank?
You're out of your fucking mind.
Seriously. Dude, this is a little bit weird.
Out of your fucking mind.
At this point.
I wanted the third cut folders. I didn't want the
what are you talking about?
I want them with the third tabs. All right. Anyway.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. What are you doing? Are you doing work?
No. I just had to take care of some business. That's all.
Can you fucking concentrate on the show, maybe?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, you seem a little bit absent-minded. Maybe you should get your fucking life organized. Jesus.
Okay. Anyway,
So we ate our meal and I get up to I had a normal size lunch. I'm gonna treat myself to some kind of a pastry.
Yeah, Ken says to me, you know what? I'm in the mood for a pastry.
Yeah,
a gayer thing you could have not said.
Oh, so it's definitely not gayer.
Men should not use the word pastry.
Men shouldn't say pastry.
No.
What the fuck are you gonna call it?
You say I'm gonna have a muffin. That's what you say. I'm going to have a pastry. What you should say is, I'm going to have a muffin.
I got to say, muffin's not much more straight than fucking pastry.
What about Danish? You think it's feminine for a man to say Danish? Of course.
Bro, let's go get some fucking muffins and Danishes and bear claws. let's go have some bear claws and cinnamon rolls. And then go out and fuck some broads. Well, I don't understand. It's the word for it. There's a word for it, and that's what it is. Don't you understand, Frank? Jesus Christ. So I ordered a pumpkin muffin. But as I was getting up to go get this muffin, Frank decided to ask me to do something for you. Oh, why are you getting up? Would you take my dishes away?
Yeah. I want you to throw my stuff out.
Am I your fucking mother?
You were getting up anyway.
And so would you. You're not going to live or move into the fucking booth at Panera. You'll be getting up eventually. So why the fuck do I have to clean up after you?
I just asked you to do me a favor, that's all. You don't make a big deal about it.
I did make a big deal out of it. It's fucking... You say that it's gay to call fucking a delicious, cakey muffin a pastry, but it's completely hetero to ask another man to clean up after him, isn't it? It's a little bit fucking sad and gay. I mean, if you're a little boy, that's one thing. But you're a fucking... You're a disheveled 40-year-old man.
Excuse me?
Ah, Jesus Christ!
So you consumed your muffin pretty much in one bite.
No,
and then you took the bag that it was in and you threw it on my shit.
Yeah, I did.
So then I had to throw your shit out.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I like to say. Making you do my dirty work. I didn't ask you. I forced you.
You didn't. You know what?
I forced
you. I'm a nice guy. I could have just left it there.
And everybody would have seen you taking it off your plate and leaving it on the table. And to which I would have said, Frank, you got to throw that out.
And could that fucking garbage be any more confusing? You got to put your plates and dishes in one spot, your paper goods in another spot, your bottles and cans somewhere. I just fucking put everything in one spot. I can't be bothered.
Did you throw out your tray?
I throw everything in the garbage.
You asked me to clean your dishes up, but you just end up throwing the whole pile in the garbage.
Well, I got confused, and there was people behind me, and I was getting nervous.
You fucking inconsiderate fuck. There's now somebody has to go in there and root around for the dish, or else they're fired. It's fucking terrible. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with an inconsiderate bald bastard. Who's this?
This is Gambit, and I'm an inconsiderate, well-haired and frothy...
Frothy?
As well.
Okay, what's up, Gambit?
Well, I don't have any respect for garbage pails in malls or restaurants as well.
Okay, so now, what do you do to these garbage cans and all that thing to show them no respect?
Cloth napkins, porcelain dishes, metal silverware, the trays, everything goes in the trash.
Do you have any class? Everything, and Frank,
Gambit is on the right wavelength as I am.
See, it's not the right wavelength. First of all, it's fucking lazy, inconsiderate. What I was telling Frank before you called Gambit is that now some 14-year-old fuckface, sorry ass employee of this establishment has to go rooting around through the garbage to pull out everything that so they can clean it and use it again. Otherwise, they're fired. They're gonna go through this garbage can, look for your fucking fork that you were too lazy to put in a tray. And look for your napkin and your plate. And then they're going to wash it. And then they're going to go prepare food with fucking garbage hands.
Uh-huh.
You're working for $6.25 an hour. Do you care about anything other than just doing the minimum?
I mean, some of them are illegal. They probably care about being deported.
Well, I'm still a jackass and I don't give a shit. So I
yo,
like
this guy's got
like
the right
miserable.
Attitude. No, Gambit is the man. He's
See,
got the right attitude.
You know, I agree. I like Gambit, but I'm now that you know this has come to pass. I don't know. We may have to part ways, Gambit.
There's something about taking out my aggressions on how I have failed in my own life on people who have no legal recourse in this nation to fight back.
What? How much satisfaction do you get from throwing a fork away? I don't understand.
Actually, most of the forks I bring home, but if I can throw an entire tray place away, it's glorious.
Okay, but now
silverware comes home with me.
Now, you see, Frank, this is the guy that you said you're on the same team with. He's actually bringing the silverware from the restaurants home for his personal use.
Oh, boy.
And is that something you would do? I mean, you said you were on the same wavelength.
No, I wouldn't bring it home. I mean, I hate enough using it there. I'm not gonna bring it home with me. But listen,
what's the matter? You don't need you don't want a service for 12 from a Friendly's? What's wrong with you?
No. Because every time I think about it, when I use silverware at restaurants, I think about you know what people's mouths are, and it just freaks me out. So
yeah.
I you know, but I guess once it's you know so whatever. But listen, I'm with Gambit as far as the other thing goes. I'm not gonna sit there for an hour and a half trying to figure out what to put where.
Chipotle has it right though. They give you a tray and a basket, and they say, throw everything else out. Just please don't throw our trays out. And that's it. And that's it. And it's right there. You can just drop the tray, throw everything out. Is that so hard? Do you throw the tray out of Chipotle when you go?
I throw it all out.
Fucking, you're despicable. And I can't believe you're raising children. You're raising them to follow in your fucking terrible footsteps.
We love children. I wanted them on this side of the desk.
Well, okay, what the fuck are you doing? You're not talking to me.
I wanted him to the left side of the desk.
Frank, who are you talking to?
Huh? What can? Oh, no, nobody. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you're really confusing me. Do you want to fucking explain yourself? Maybe a little?
I, you know, I mean,
I guess you don't. I guess you don't. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever, you know. Frank. Fuck it. You just keep interrupting the show. No explanation for us. That's fine. It's fine. I'm surprised. I'm surprised when you left Panera after throwing out all this shit, you didn't just reach in and grab handfuls of creamers and fucking sugars. You seem like the type of guy that would fucking that has just baskets of packeted sugar from various restaurants.
Well, underneath my armrest, I have equal packets because what happened was, as you know, I was a very strong proponent of Starbucks lattes for a number of years.
Excuse me, did you say that you are no longer?
I am no longer a latte. Starbucks lattes lately have been sucking at whatever location I've been going to. They've been sucking.
Wow.
They have a funky taste to them. It's an unfinished taste. I don't know what's going on. So my friend Dan Wright. Forget it. My friend Dan visited here last
from
California.
You're a fucking asshole.
I apologize.
And then you go and explain. You're a fucking idiot.
Apologize.
God. Okay, so your friend Dan came over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christ. And he said to me, well, Frank, why don't you just order coffee at Starbucks? So from now on, I just order coffee at Starbucks. But whenever I order coffee and I ask for the said four equals, they never put the fucking equals in. They always forget to put the sweetener in. So I only go through drive-through Starbucks. I look for wherever the locations. I'll drive 20 miles just to get to a fucking drive-through Starbucks. Okay, because that's how I roll.
Oh,
are you aware of that?
You're strictly drive-through now.
Strictly drive-through. So I get my. I say I want my coffee with four equals. They always forget the fucking sweetener. So I have to fucking pull around in the parking lot and go in there and get it myself. So I'm so fucking angry the other day. I went in there and just took fucking handfuls and handfuls of fucking equals and fucking put them in my pocket and in my coat and just fucking put them in my car. So now I can have and I also took those little wooden stirrers, which I enjoy very much. I like the taste of the wooden stir after I stir the coffee. I like the woodiness, how it tastes. I like the way the wood is.
You're sucking on popsicles that people have fucking
No. I like to have the wood in my mouth because I like the way it feels.
Well, how far down do you go, though?
I go pretty far down because I like to, you know, I like when it drips down there a little bit.
Really? Do you scrape it on the teeth at all or no?
Well, sometimes I'll just like, lick up and down and maybe do a little twirl and stuff. But
I mean, I after knowing you, I'd never think that you were into that type of thing, but.
It's not bad. You should try it sometimes.
No, I don't think I'm going to try it.
The sticks, you know, the wood's not that hard. Sometimes it's soft wood, you know, so you can flick it around with your tongue a little bit.
Oh, so when you're blowing the guy flaccid, you like that too?
Excuse me?
I didn't know what we were talking about.
We're talking about those wooden stirrers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you just got really descriptive for a second. You must have been putting out a lot of innuendo. I get it, Frank. So your revenge for poor service at Starbucks is stealing all the free stuff.
These are listen, maybe you're not aware of what's going on in society today, but those are what's called condiments, and condiments are free.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't exactly know that you should be taking a bag home of their condiments. I mean, why don't you just go downstairs and take the crate? Why don't you go downstairs, take the cardboard box of the equals, put it in the trunk, and then walk away?
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
I said collate it! Collate
what
the paper.
Fuck are you doing? What the fuck? Can you fucking stay on topic? Who are you talking to?
You know, Ken. All right, I during the show, and I kind of hired a helper. I have an intern.
Sorry, Mr. Jim.
Stop it!
You hired somebody for what? For the show or your business?
I hired an intern to help me with the show, to help me gather my belongings, my folders, my manila folders.
Wait. You didn't hire somebody.
Yes, I have an intern.
For what? What do you do?
Well, listen, I have to make sure my pencils are sharpened. I have the folders I need to have on the left side of the desk. You know, I need my coffee here. But what's the problem? Is there some sort of problem or something?
No, never mind. Fuck it. I don't care. Whatever. I mean, so you hired an intern to
the coughing is a sign that I need water. I told you that!
Yes, sir.
Now!
Jesus. So you have an intern now, and you haven't even you have signals. I mean, you don't have any form of communication down.
There's no communication. I cough. That means water. I slam the folders on the table. That means you fucked up. Okay, that's all. There's no need to talk. There's no need for communication.
But what's this collate shit? Why?
Well,
what are you?
The folders. What because, are you? I like to have the third cut. Are you aware of the different cuts of the folders? You got third cut, two cut, one cut. I want the one cut and the two cut on one side.
What are you filing? I don't understand.
I have
this
my preparation for the program and things of that nature.
Frank, this isn't a job. This is a 2-hour internet show. What do you? Why do you have files? And why are you making copies? And
well, you know, I take notes of the different things we cover, and I put them in the archives, and I have the intern now sort them and put them in the archives and whatnot.
Jesus Christ! So where did you find the intern? I mean, did you look on like Craigslist or something? Or?
Yeah, Craigslist, absolutely. Craigslist. That's where I got it. On
and you got an intern just to get you drinks and stuff?
The intern gets me coffee. She'll, you know, like I said, get my folders. Once in a while, maybe she'll get me a snack of some sort. You know, but, you know, nothing too complicated. Nothing at all too complicated.
Does the intern know that she's working for a disrespectful thief?
I don't know if she's aware of that.
Interesting.
I'm not a thief.
You are. You stole fucking pounds of Equal from Starbucks. And this is after they call you Lovey. I saw that on your Twitter.
Yes. Yes. The Starbucks lady called me Lovey.
By the way, I saw that on Twitter. Twitter.com/TheGermFreak. That's where I saw this huge news that Frank had to post. Now, when she called you, did it take you aback? Were you shocked?
I was a little offended because if it was a male worker calling the female customer Lovey, there'd be some problems.
I mean, did you feel affection or something like that?
No, I didn't feel affection. Well, maybe a little.
I mean, well, tell me how did it transpire? I mean, you got your order and
snack. I want a brownie with no nuts.
I don't fucking understand this.
What don't you fucking understand? Jesus Christmas.
Did they bring you a brownie? She brought you a brownie with nuts?
I don't like... Listen. Sometimes I'm in a mood for nuts and sometimes I'm not. Tonight I don't want the nuts.
I thought you like it when you're sucking on a flaccid dick. Or was that a wood stirrer? I don't know, Frank. I'm confused. I'm confused. So you think it's okay to just take whatever you want as far as the free condiments?
It's condiments.
So taking everything is okay. Cleaning them out is fine. Is that right? I agree with you to an extent.
To what extent, New Style?
If there's an amount that you couldn't possibly take home. Like, for example, I frequent the establishment Five Guys, by the way. This is how you would introduce the idea of Five Guys. I go to Five Guys. Are you aware of Five Guys? That's how you would say it. Even
now,
though you know I've been
there. Five Guys burgers and fries.
No, Five
right?
Guys. Fucking
okay.
Five Guys. Don't
I can make a fucking
it.
Better burger than Five Guys. That's nothing. That's it's overrated. I was not impressed whatsoever.
First of all, you can't. Second of all, Frank, what I'm talking about is the fact that they have peanuts. They have barrels of peanuts. You couldn't possibly take all the peanuts home with you. So that tells me I could basically take as much as I can in what I'm given. When you go to Five Guys, you get a bag. So I'm saying, okay, I can eat as many as I want while I'm there. And I have a bag. I can walk out with the bag. So I walk out with the bag filled with peanuts. Even though, and I laugh at the sign that says, please don't take these peanuts out of the store. You know, there's allergies. The neighborhood children may react poorly to the peanuts being in the air or in the area, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I take the peanuts back to my office and I chew them at my desk and I throw the peanut shells all over the floor, all over the desk and the garbage can, wherever they end up, Frank. Doesn't matter. I'll take them while I'm driving. I'll just chomp peanuts and just fucking throw the shells out the window and feel good to be an American. Just take the shells, throw them right out, Frank.
You're littering, you're saying.
No, I'm not littering. How is that littering?
I thought you're throwing refuse at the window.
It's okay. If I had a leaf in my car, Frank. If I had an oak leaf that came in when I opened the door and I threw that out on the road, would that be bad? Would that be bad? Yes or no?
No.
No, it wouldn't. Why?
Because that's where it came from to begin with.
It came from to begin with. Yeah, oh, Frank. Yeah. The peanut shells, Frank. They're from nature. There's no processing okay. done to them.
Would you throw a banana peel out the window?
Absolutely, with the sticker on it.
What about potato skins?
Am I peeling potatoes while I'm on 287? I don't. How am I coming across fucking potato skins? But if I, you know what? If I was that fucking skilled to be able to prepare potato stew and drive, I would do it. I would throw them right out on the road. If I was peeling a carrot, right on the road. Any vegetable skin or shell, right out.
Where do you draw the limit then?
Anything that has been processed. Like, for example, you could argue that napkins are just trees, right? But, you know, it's been converted into, you know, have a fucking fake plaid pattern on it. It's quilted now.
Right, what about, like, would you throw empty a jar of jelly and throw that out the window?
Well, it's glass.
No, just empty the contents.
Yeah, I wouldn't think anything of that. Even, you know, that's processed too, but that'll,
you know, I'm gonna be honest with you.
That'll wash away.
I'm going to be up front with you. I kind of agree with you now.
You do.
I agree that throwing food out the window is okay because the animals will just eat it.
Yeah, they'll eat it. Frank, I don't know why you have a sea of lettuce on the bottom of your car. Just throw it out. Throw it out the window. It's not going to matter. It'll either get eaten or washed away with the rain. What was that? Did I just
nothing.
Hear?
It was.
Did I just hear a fucking bell?
My pager.
I
want brownies.
Okay, let's. You know what? Get this intern over here. Let's see what's going on. I mean, I
want to talk to the intern. Hold on, this fucking. God, hold on a second.
Hello.
This isn't Frank just putting on a voice, right?
No. Who is this?
This is Ken. My name is Ken. I'm a friend of your bald boss.
Oh, hello, Ken. Oh, he's so good to me.
Why are you?
He's a good man.
What?
He's good man.
Why are you there?
He need help.
I'm here. What does he need help? What is he having you do?
He have office.
Yeah, I know he has an office, but what is he having you do?
He's a very important man.
I assure you he's not. He's actually less important than anybody in your country.
Oh, he is big star. You didn't know?
No, he's not. I didn't know.
He's a big star in the United States.
No, he's not. Let me ask you, has he been inappropriately touched you?
No, never. He's a good man.
Hmm. How many days have you been working on the job?
Only 3.
Oh, yeah, he usually starts doing that after 5 days. So where did he find you? He said Craigslist or something.
On the Craigslist.
On the Craigslist.
Yes.
Interesting. And what's your top priority? What's your first responsibility that you have to get done?
I get food from store.
And you give it to him?
Yes, I give to good man.
Do you like your job?
Yes, I love job, and I love being here in the United States.
So you love the job. You would hate to lose it because you'd have to go back to your country, right?
Yes, I no go back.
So if I were to tell you some things that you could do to maybe make sure that you keep your job and that you do it better, that would be good.
Oh, yes. Tips if...
So your job is to get him food?
Yes, I get food. I make the coffee.
Okay, Frank doesn't like to tell people this, but he had a salivary gland removed, so food is very dry for him. And he'd really appreciate it if you'd salivate on the food, if you actually licked on top of the food before you give it to him. Excuse me?
I don't know if I could do. I will ask.
No, yes? don't ask him. Just do it and tell him, because I know of your affliction, I prepared this special for you.
Yes, okay. I will do now.
And he also loves to drink urine from immigrants.
No, that wasn't in the description.
Well, he kind of like, he was not going to ask for it. He's a married man. You've seen his wife and his kids.
Beautiful, beautiful lady and beautiful children.
Yeah, have you seen him yell at them yet?
No, he is a very good man.
He yells at them all the time. I've been a friend of his for years. And for the first little, you know, first while of you working with him, he'll be very nice. And then he'll turn into a cruel man. Where are you from? Which country are you from?
I am from Poland.
Do you know Lech Walesa?
No, I don't. Only here.
Yeah. Well, he killed many Polish people. And he had sex with them in their faces.
Oh, no.
Frank is worse than him.
No, he is a good man. He's a good, hardworking American man.
Yeah, ask your grandparents. Lech Walesa was a very good, hardworking man until he face-fucked the Poles.
That's a bad word.
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to hear these things. Can you put Frank on for a second, please?
Yes, thank you very much, the new style DJ.
Just call me Ken, please. Uncle Ken.
Very happy to be here in America.
Uncle Ken, from now
on. Okay, yes, Uncle Ken. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Ken, what's up, buddy?
Frank, are you fucking this immigrant?
Excuse me?
Why do you have some immigrant traipsing around your office? Does Donna know about her?
It's an intern.
Does Donna know about her?
It's an intern.
Does Donna know about her?
Not particularly.
She doesn't.
I didn't know I needed to tell.
Okay, so you're gonna be banging her. Is that what it is?
No.
Okay, you're gonna be peeking in. Is she living in your house?
In the crawl space area.
With the rats? Jesus Christ. God, Frank, I don't know. I don't know, Frank. Are you? Is this 100% for real?
It's real as you can get, my friend.
I think you're pulling a fucking joke on me here. I don't know.
So?
Yes, I think you are.
Well,
first of all, Donna doesn't even answer the door. Okay, you don't even answer the door. Donna answers the fucking door. You don't have. A walkout basement. So there's no way that this woman hasn't met Donna. You have a note on your house, Frank?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it says, please don't ring the doorbell. Instead, call and leave the package.
It doesn't say call and leave the package. It says leave the package.
Leave the package and go?
Yes.
But it's something about not ringing the bell because you're scared of the doorbell.
I am scared of the doorbell,
so this is all
yes.
Bullshit, Frank. It's bullshit on your part.
You saw the fucking sign.
Yeah, I saw it, obviously.
All right.
So who's the intern? Is this should I guess?
If you want.
Is it a friend of ours?
Yes.
Is it actually a female? It's not Jimmy Spickle there, right?
It is not Jimmy Spickle.
Okay. It was it was a toss up between Spickle, Ed McGrath, and Ababra.
It's one of the three.
It's Ed McGrath. Ed McGrath.
All right. Hey, baby.
So it's which one is it?
It is our friend Barbara.
Barbara is over there. And by the way, very convincing immigrant voice.
Well, you know, very good because, you know, her mother speaks that way.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to say anything, you know, that her mom is immigrant or anything like that, but she
her mother is immigrant, and she's
well,
very
immigrants
cute.
Immigrants are very bad
and
word.
And I said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Her father is adorable. The guy,
excuse me,
adorable. He's just an adorable
Frank,
older gentleman.
Frank, you're attracted to people that look like you. he looks a lot like you. Maybe because you're both bald. I think that's something
just,
to do with
he's
it.
Just he's just a cute. He's a cute guy. I'm not gonna lie. He's adorable.
So you have Barb over there right now, and is she actually serving you snacks, or is she telling you pretty much to go fuck yourself?
No, she's not. No, there's no snacks.
And let me ask you, does Donna know that Barb is there?
Yeah, she let her in.
Of course. I'm just making sure that you're up on the up and up, Frank. Just making sure you're on the up and up. That's all. That's all. Frank, you know, you didn't, is this a surprise? I mean, you were going to tell me, I mean, it's cool. You didn't have to pretend she was an intern.
Well, listen, I didn't know, you know, I just, I didn't know how to, you know, anyway, why don't we take a break?
You didn't know how to what? By the way, I enjoyed you bellowing for fucking brownies without nuts. But the thing is, it was too real, because I know that you've yelled at Donna in the same manner. So you can yell at Donna these things, because she's like basically storing up anger credits that she's going to cash in when you're near the end of your fucking days. She's going to cash them in and just walk away from you, because you've treated her so poorly in her prime.
That's a lie. I treat her very well.
You scream at her for fucking treats. You scream at her if she...
Well, I get hungry.
Happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take a break here? It's the DJ New Style Show. On where? Where can you hear this, Frank?
Is it Hear Us Talk Radio Network, the people, the place to be and the people to see. Oh, the thing you do with your hands...
Okay, thank you.
The Hear Us Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude. That's why we might as well take our time.
This is Rob Geggs, executive producer of Best in Show Radio, which is also heard on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. Here's what's happening on Best in Show.
I was at work the other day, and this is a really embarrassing moment. I was at work. I'm working with a teacher, and the teacher's wearing a blouse, and she has this Band-Aid in the middle of her chest. And I guess she went to, you know, get something removed or something, maybe a mole. But, you know, she's wearing a low-cut blouse, and you can see this Band-Aid, you know. And, you know, I'm with the teacher, and I'm a teacher's assistant, and I'm helping the kids get ready for lunch or whatnot. And I'm raising my hands, and I'm talking with my hands, telling the kids to get ready. And out of the back of my eye, I see the teacher come behind me, and I whack her with my hand right on her boob, right where the...
On the Band-Aid?
On the Band-Aid, like, because the Band-Aid's right by the boob.
Ooh, like a bullseye.
And you hear, like, bells go off? Like a slap.
Like an attractor?
No, all I heard was, ow, oh, and, like, she's, like, kind of, like, took a knee. She took a knee. She was...
You knocked her down! You knocked her down!
She's, like, 45, you know, 40, 45, and she took a knee.
Even though he's not acting anymore, still bringing the house down to their knees.
Hold on. I need more specifics.
It's like a pun. But I hit her in the chest. And when she took a knee, I was like, oh my God, are you all right? You know, Miss So-and-so. And
all the
kids are like watching this all go down, because they're all sitting down just watching.
Any laughers? Did anyone laugh?
No one laughed. Everyone was kind of shocked almost. They were like, oh my God, like, just knocked my teacher out. Like,
what a school of pussies that wouldn't laugh when their teacher got knocked
out. This is pre-K. This is about pre-K kids.
Right, pussies.
Best in Show Radio is live every Thursday night from 8 to 11 p.m. on HearUsTalk.com and the Hear Us Talk Radio chat room on PalTalk. Best in Show Radio is proud to be part of the Hear Us Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. This is DJ New Style, host of the DJ New Style Show, inviting you to check out the Hear Us Talk forums, the official message board of HearUsTalk.com. Discuss show topics, comment on previous episodes, talk to hosts, talk to fans, or peruse some of the bizarre images and video clips posted in our We Find Things on the Internet section. Do you like video games? What about sports? Are you into MMA? Do you like crappy music? Do you like broads? Wait, of course not, but are you sexually attracted to women? Wait, still no? Okay, well, maybe you should pass the link on to a friend. HearUsTalk.com/forum. What I'm saying in a nutshell is that there's something for everyone in the Hear Us Talk forums. Go to HearUsTalk.com/forum, and if it's not there, and it should be, post it. HearUsTalk.com/forum.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hello. Thank you for tuning in to episode 230 of the DJ New Style Show. If you've missed a bunch of episodes or you're new to the show, please go to DJNewStyleShow.com, subscribe, and download everything we've ever done. Here to tell you about what you may have missed last week is Jimmy Francone.
This shit happened last time.
A man stayed in my friggin' house and went in my shower.
Yeah,
He washed his balls in my shower.
Coolest.
By you sitting next to me, ordering the same fucking thing, it looks as though I've ordered a large helping and said, could you just put it on two plates? We're sharing.
Okay.
Green Ninja wrote in the Palto Room, Donna's hot.
Excuse me. I told Frank as soon as I met her, and she kind of walked out of the room, I determined that you better not fuck that up.
That's what he said to me.
If you could get her to not burn a cup of coffee, Frank, she'd be the perfect woman.
Coolest.
And I thought it was a very funny thing to say, that it looks like he is still wearing his dad's shirt in an art class, which is implied that's a fucking smock.
No,
and for you to
I
fucking
said
say
the word smock.
Okay.
Mr. Love Kim can suck my fucking dick, you bald Michael Berryman looking motherfucker.
I said that! Woo! I said that!
Woo!
That was my line!
Fuck you!
Michael Berryman! You look it up, people!
Oh, how about that shit? This shit's happening right now.
Yeah. Yo, what's up? It's your boy Sony from 10th and Diamond. You listening to the DJ New Style Show. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Sony from 10th and Diamond. Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Heroes Talk. That's HeroesTalk.com. That's right. If you've missed any of our shows, go to DJNewStyleShow.com and download them. Subscribe to the podcast. Don't even ask what it costs, because that would be insulting. Of course it's free. No one would pay for it. Frank,
write
I hope...
I like that when you did one advertisement where you said, write your little name.
Write your little name, your little post. We'll play some games. We'll have a good time. I don't think I've ever written anybody's little name. Choose your little name, your message, whatever, Frank. But you know what? It's all about interaction on the web, you know, Frank?
I hear you.
It is. And when I think interaction and I think internet communication, I think of award-winning software that goes by the name of ICU2. Where can you get it? You can get it at ICU2.com. ICU2.com. It's face-to-face any place. The 2009 People's Choice Award winner for internet communication, Frank. It's very easy to use. It's a great program. And there's a lot of video chat solutions out there. They've been around before, all of them. All you do is go to ICU2.com and click download. And on your Windows PC, you'll be connected to a vast network of people that you can now be face-to-face with any place. ICU2.com. If you want to maybe hook up with some people, you want to chat about Lost, you want to talk about how the new series of The Girls Next Door is just a fucking abomination and makes it more obvious that fucking Hef paid for broads. Go on ICU2.com. Download the software. It's free to try, Frank. Have you done this yet? Have you tried out ICU2?
Absolutely. It's very easy to use this as well.
It is. Extremely easy to use. ICU2.com, Frank. I tell you, it's, you know what it is? It's as easy as kissing your kids goodnight.
I do that every night.
You probably kiss them right on the lips, though.
Excuse me?
Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen the parents that kiss their kids, but on the lips?
You mean like a quick peck on the lips? Sure, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Not bothered by that at all?
Not at all.
You're at a park with your kids or something like that. The kid does something nice or says something, and they go over to their father or their mother and right on the lips. Doesn't bother you?
Not a problem at all.
Irks the shit out of me.
Well, because you don't have kids.
I don't have kids. I would never in a fucking million years kiss my mom or my dad on the lips. Ever. In my life. And you've done this?
My kids?
You kiss your kids on the lips.
I don't make a habit out of it, but if it's the point where we're saying goodnight or goodbye or something, and something happens, then you kiss them. I don't make a habit out of it.
You like run your fingers through the back of the hair and grip the back of the head?
No.
And go,
well, my name isn't Papa Phillips.
Do you do that when you kiss him?
No, I don't.
Do you make any noises?
I make no noises whatsoever.
You don't even make the kiss noise? You don't do that?
I don't make noises like that. I know how to.
You just touch lips and then that's it.
It's something that happens. Are you telling me right, that
that's fucking creepy
wrong for children?
If you kiss somebody and you don't make that kissy sound and you don't open your mouth, it's fucking bad.
I don't like the kissy sound. It gives me a headache. It makes my ears hurt.
It's fucking bad.
But are you saying that there's something wrong with a parent kissing their toddler youngster on the lips?
I think it's a little creepy. I think it's a little fucking creepy. You reserve lip-to-lip contact for someone you're trying to bed down.
All right, you see, let me tell you, now that people know what kind of a deviant you are, because you're thinking that kissing on the lips has to be something that's lustful.
No.
Let me finish, please.
Oh, holy shit, excuse me, you bald bastard.
Listen to me. So you think, you know, you're assuming that kissing on the lips is something that's going to be sexual at all times. It doesn't have to be.
Okay, Frank, then I guess you wouldn't see any difference between a handshake and a hand job. Right? Because you're using the
have
same part.
Have you ever kissed a relative on the lips? Have you ever accidentally kissed your aunt on the lips?
Let me ask you, have you?
In my 39 years, have I accidentally kissed a relative on the lips? I'm sure it's happened.
Now, it's been on accident, right?
Of course.
When it happened, did you feel gross?
I felt a little awkward.
Yeah,
but
now
we're
why?
Adults!
Let me ask you something. Why? Why did you feel awkward? Yeah, the reason is because you reserve lip to lip contact for someone you're romantically involved with.
Listen, we're talking about
someone you happen to come into contact with when you're fucking blacked out in a basement party.
We're talking about children. We're talking about young. I'm not talking. You know, I don't have teenagers. I'm not kissing my teenage son on the lips. My son is 5. If he says to me, Daddy, I love you, and he gives me a quick peck on the lips, I don't see the problem.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. You stop kissing him on the lips. You kiss him on the cheek and all that shit at a certain age, right?
Absolutely.
What age do you think?
21.
So that means at 19, you're kissing your son on the lips.
I'm thinking like...
Your son goes and fights in the army.
When they start sprouting pubes, then you stop kissing on the lips.
How do you know then, Frank? Are you now looking at them in the shower? Are you looking to see if they've sprouted pubes? Are you asking them?
I will ask periodically.
You ask them if they have pubes?
Well, I have to know in order to stop kissing them on the lips.
Shut the fuck up. First of all, you're such a fucking liar.
I would say, you know, I mean, Luke is 5 years old. You know, I would say at 10, you know, I'm not going to kiss him when he's 10.
Okay,
I'm not
he's 10 years old, right? Let's say at 12 years old, he goes to say goodnight to, and he kisses you on the lips.
No, there's no kissing on the lips at 12, no.
What if he does it to you? What do you say to him?
Well, I don't want to hurt the guy's feelings.
So
I would say that it's, you know, if you want to kiss your father, you could kiss me on the cheek or the forehead.
My mom, when I was younger, she used to have a lot of luncheons with, like, her cousins and stuff. And they're about maybe a little older than her to, like, the same age. And they would come over there, and it would pretty much be mostly women. Except one time, one of them brought her husband. And so I was going somewhere with my dad, and I was told, okay, say your goodbyes, say your goodbyes. Okay. So I start going around the table. There's like 12 or 13 there. You know, you kiss each woman on the cheek or whatever. And then eventually I got to the husband, and out of fucking habit, I kissed him on the cheek. And he goes, ah, oh, you never kiss a man.
Now, how did that make you feel?
Oh, it was fucking mortifying. It was done out of fucking habit after having to say goodbye to 39 fucking elderly women.
And it was on the cheek, and
I felt disgusting.
Yeah, it's cheek. It's not that bad to kiss. I mean, listen, you know, it's sort of like common now for guys to kiss each other on the cheek, isn't it?
What? Are you saying it's common for guys to kiss each other on the cheek?
And the Italian household.
I gotta say, I don't think it was ever common. That's a little fucking little flaky there, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes you see relatives, you know, older men, they'll just, you know, they'll hug another relative, give him a quick kick.
I just saw what Pristine typed. Our buddy Mike from Queens says, Lil Wayne says, y'all homophobic. Y'all is homophobic. I kiss Birdman on his mouth. I kissed son on my mouth. He my daddy. I just don't like my daddy. Ugh, the worst. Fucking Lil Wayne is the worst. And there are pictures of him kissing his father on his lips. Well over 21. Well over 10. And it's just fucking wrong, Frank. It's fucking wrong. You gotta stop that. Maybe.
When my five-year-old son, Lukey, is upstairs and comes to the first floor and says, Daddy, I love you, and gives me a quick peck on the lips, I'm not gonna turn him away.
Give him a hug. Maybe a kiss on the cheek. Maybe. You gotta stop that soon. I mean, I know you already put him in ballet classes, but
he's not in ballet. He's in cooking class, and it takes pottery.
Well, I mean, he still kisses you on the lips at night.
Once in a while, like if he says goodnight or something, or before school,
When he's coming downstairs,
if he's on the second floor and he comes to the first floor and he says and he gives me a kiss or something like that, because.
Luca comes from the second floor to kiss his dad passionately on the lips as his father runs his fucking calloused old man fingers on the back of his infant head, looks deeply into his eyes and says, I love you, son. What's your name, Luke?
My name is Luca.
My daddy kisses me on the mouth. He lingers just a little too long. Sometimes his hand creeps down south. Uh-oh. What is he hearing late at night? Oh, the brownies with no nuts! Cough meets water! Poor Luca. Your son Luca really needs a father figure. It's too bad Dan moved out.
He misses Dan.
I bet you he does. I mean, he finally had a dad. He finally had a dad when Dan was there. Dan would do this thing whenever he left, or whenever he felt like reaffirming the relationship. He would ask Luke, "Who's the best at Wii?" And Luke would point at Dan, and he would go, "Who's your best friend?" And Luke would point at Dan, and he would go, "Who do you love better than Daddy?" And Luke would point at Dan. And then he would kiss Dan on the lips.
That's a lie.
And he would say, I only love you, Dan. Dan had said that he pretended to be sick so he could miss school and spend the day. Have a magical afternoon with our buddy Dan from Cal.
Dan and Cal.
Well, he was from Cal at that point, but now he is in Cal. I don't know, Frank. Wes had called in, and he pointed something out that kind of irritated me, Frank. It made me a little bit agitated, a little bit nervous. It made a little nervous sound and pissing me off. You posted a picture of your gas gauge from your dashboard on your Facebook. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I was driving on Interstate 287.
You were on 287, for those who don't know, this is a major interstate highway. Multiple lanes, exits are few and far between. And you chose to get on this highway.
Tractor trailers, 18-wheelers.
Lots of accidents, lots of deaths. Lots of people texting and killing innocent people while driving. Illegally texting while driving, killing people. And you chose to get on this highway.
Right.
With the fucking needle below E.
Below E!
It was below the fucking E. And the light
below
was on.
E.
The light
it wasn't
was on.
Even at E. It was below E.
Why don't you just get gas?
I don't feel like it.
That is the most frightening fucking situation I can imagine.
Why is that frightening to you?
It's fucking frightening. Just to. Because it happened to me once. My car ran out of gas once. And it's that feeling.
What's the scenario? Was it a highway? Where was it at?
I was on my way to the gas station because I was so worried. And it ran out just near the gas station. I pushed it in there and I got my gas. But it's that feeling, Frank, when you're at the end and it goes, boom, 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 boom. And you're done. And you
can't turn the steering wheel or anything.
And you can coast and that's it. And you better hope it goes for a while. You better hope you're going downhill. Because once you're out, you're out. But you decide to embark on a new journey. Take a few exits on 287. That needle needs to be fucking cut and dry, if you ask me. You should never be below the E. You should never be able to get below the
There's always about 20 miles or so you can get on. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You got to stop being a pussy your whole life.
No, but my thing is, I need the gauge to be the gauge. I don't when it gets filled up, it goes beyond full. When it's empty, it goes below the E. Can it just be that the E says I'm done? Because here's what happens. I have daily disposable contacts. I wear a new pair every day, throw them out every day, and I order month supplies. 6 months, 3 months, a year, whatever. I have a lot of contacts at one time, and when I first get it, it's like, whatever. Oh, this one's a little itchy. Fuck it, throw it out. I'll just take a new pair. And then, sure as shit, one day I wake up, and there's one pair left, and I haven't ordered new contacts. So now that means I have to either let this one day wear contact last for fucking 5 days by scrubbing it and doing whatever I can, or I'm fucked and I can't see. So what I've done is I've called the eye doctor and I said, look, I don't have contacts. I'm ordering it now. Is there anything you can do? And he's like, oh yeah, I've got a few extra pairs. So now that's like going below E. I can now successfully run out of contacts, and I still have that fucking cushion of safety. And now it gets worse and worse. I'm taking like 2 and 3 weeks of contacts from the eye doctor every time when I run out. I can't ever get in a fucking regimen now because running out is not running out. Once I hit E, I should be done. There should be no below E. And you just fucking embark on your journey with less than no gas. According to your gauge.
Right. I enter the entrance with it below E because that's how I roll.
And you can say glasses, Doug. I see you typing the word glasses with a question mark. But let's face it. Glasses are for nerds. And I don't know if you've seen a little movie called Revenge of the Nerds, but I wouldn't want to be on their side.
Well, some people will.
I wouldn't want to be on their side, buddy.
Some people get glasses, and I know for a fact that Barb does this. She has non-prescription glasses just to make herself look smarter than she really is.
Is she? And she's there right now.
Yeah, she's here.
Is she wearing her? Is she wearing her glasses?
There's no glass. Yeah, there is glasses now. And
nerds! Nerds!
You know what the sad part of that Nerds movie was? Ogre. That guy was so stereotyped in that fucking role.
Ogre
that
20 worst.
Years later, he's doing fucking commercials as that same fucking role.
Well, I mean, everything he was in, he was Ogre. Even, I think he was in Over the Top. Wasn't he in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie as Ogre? He was in First and Ten as Ogre. I mean, that's like Booger. I mean, you see the guy who played Booger. It's like, oh, it's Booger. Oh, but he's just playing older Booger now.
Right. Same thing with somebody like a Michael Berryman.
Yeah, and you know what? We found his Twitter, Michael Berryman. Yeah, it's Mr. Lovekim. Twitter.com/MrLovekim.
Look it up, people. Michael Berryman. Look it up. Mm. A spitting image separated by birth.
That guy promotes my show more than I do, which is a lot, believe me. Fucking withered, melting, wax-headed motherfucker.
You know, we're going to, you know, I'm going to close it down. Gonna close it down. I don't want drama.
If you don't take this out into PMs, I'm closing the room. I'm gonna take a snooze on my leopard printed couch. Guys, life doesn't exist beyond a webcam and a Logitech mouse. Fucking loser.
An uglier human I've never seen.
I know. And I've seen accident victims. I've been on Rotten.com in 1998. I've seen the head that got crushed by a fucking train. Much more attractive and fuckable than Mr. Lovekin.
Ugh. It's not even
fucking
human.
Loser. And Frank, without fail, always mentioning our show for no fucking
reason. He's a big fan.
He is. You know, I hope one day when he's saving his fucking dumb Dutch village from a flood by shoving his cock in a hole in a fucking dike that he gets stuck there, and this little fuck dies in the one good thing he attempted to do. The one day he decided to leave his fucking couch.
You know, I don't want to dwell on it, but you know what? He may have had power at one time in this little community we call PT. But his reign is over.
Is that power?
To him, it was.
Having a swirly next to your name, indicating that you're a moderator of a chat room, was like, oh, you know what? Kingdoms come and go.
And you know, it's not
I'm on Pal Talk.
It's not like a test needs to be, you know, you don't have to take an exam to have that little at symbol next to your name. There's no exam.
All you have to do is you have to be good at saying, guys, if you don't take it to PMs, you're both dotted. I'm going to dot you if you don't take it to PMs, guys. This is bullshit. Fucking loser. I think he actually threatened to fight Wes. If I ever catch you in New Jersey, I'm going to fight you. You're 43 years old. Shouldn't you be beyond wanting to fight someone over things said on a computer? Please. Please. Enough about Mr. Love Kim. Because honestly, this is far more than he should ever be mentioned. Mr. Love Kim. I gotta say, when you typed that Michael Berryman thing and I clicked on the link, I had no idea who Michael Berryman was. But the minute I saw that fucking picture from The Hills Have Eyes, I howled. I howled. As if I were a wolf and there were a full moon. Frank, I heard that PM. It better be your drama. You better not be bringing it to the show. What a loser. I don't know, Frank. I mean, yeah, the running out of gas thing
like
that I saw.
Almost like a burn victim, though. He looks like a fucking burn victim.
I mean, there's the obvious Dr. Evil.
Right,
people
right.
go with when they see his fucking face.
But I hate to, you know, I know this is used on a lot of other, on a popular radio program. But he's an adult Peoria kid. He has that face of it.
He almost looks like... You know when you see the photographs from a concentration camp,
and yes.
and they're so just fucking depressed and
right.
and they're hopeless. If you put about 300 extra pounds on one of those people,
right.
and a mesh tank top and a starter cap and a leather couch under them with a leopard pattern on it, you'd have Mr. Love Kim. Jesus.
Anyway.
Yeah, I can't be talking about Mr. Love.
No, no, that's enough.
It's enough, Frank.
But he is a huge fan. But anyway,
so you think it's not masculine to you think it's feminine to worry about running out of gas?
Because
to me it's a gigantic fear. I see the light and I fucking get into a panic. I've said this many times. It fucking panics me.
You know, when I was a youngster, when I would ride in the back of my parents' Ford Maverick back in the 1970s, and
did it have a crank start?
No, it did not have a crank
start. And horses in the front of it?
No. Anyway, you know, my father would drive with it, and it would be like a quarter of a tank, and I'd say, "Please get gas." I would cry. I would cry because I would be so scared that we were gonna you know, run out of gas. I used to get scared.
Yeah,
I would cry.
Well, I wouldn't. I never cry, but
I did.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you absolutely did. Let me ask you, Frank. You think of a lot of the cars and guys that love their cars and shit. It's become like a common thing for guys to be more or seem more masculine if they take care of their cars.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, he fixes his car up. Oh,
right.
He,
for a long time, I was embarrassed to tell people that I knew nothing about automobiles.
No, I have a question for you, Frank, right now, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Germ Freak Radio presents...
Is It Gay?
That's right. This is the part of the show where it used to be Frank asking questions, but now... After being friends with him, I have to say that I find myself making these observations, too. It's infectious. Wondering if things are gay is the new swine flu. Frank, I ask you, is it gay to be concerned with your car being clean?
Well, you know, being fastidious and being clean and neat and tidy has always been a little effeminate. So I'm assuming you could transfer that to your automobile, and it'll be the same way. So I would say yes. That's why my car is a fucking mess.
Well, your car's beyond. I think it's gay to think that you need to act straight by having a salad bar in your fucking passenger side on the floor. I'm talking about my car is dirty. Should I go get a car wash? Is that thought gay? It's gonna rain. It'll fucking clean itself. Why am I concerned with that? I mean, you look at cowboys. Do you think they fucking wash their horse? No. They punch it in the face and throw more dirt in its eyes. That's masculinity. Not giving a shit what your car looks like. Driving something with primer only.
Right. That primer look.
Yes.
From high school.
We have a call here, I do believe. 316-768-4472. No, I don't think we do we? Are you there, caller? No. I guess we don't. I thought we did, but you do think it's gay?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I never wash my car. I couldn't give a shit what it looks like.
Me either. Once in a while, you know, one Saturday, it's usually a spring day, maybe once every 3 or 4 years, you get into that fucking feel that you want to clean your car really good. And you go to the fucking Pep Boys and you get every little fucking piece of cleaning solutions, something for the chrome, something for the leather seats, something for the cloth. You get everything because you want to just feel good that day and clean it.
Yeah, you do it that once and then that's it forever.
And then the day later, it looks like shit anyway.
Exactly. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with an inconsiderate germ freak. Who's this?
This is Friday Music Jeff.
Found Your Music Jeff from The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30 in the AM, Friday nights, hearustalk.com. What's going on, Jeff?
I reject the premise that keeping your car clean or being clean in general is gay.
Well,
first of all, it's functional to keep your car clean because, you know, if it's dirty, it could erode the paint, which could cause rust damage, which you don't want to fix anyway. But, you know, taking pride in one's things is not necessarily gay. Well, it's, you know, you just want to make sure everything is how you bought it.
Well, let me refer back to a classic proverb. Cleanliness is next to gayliness. Cleanliness and being obsessed with it, I think, is a little bit of a feminine thing. Being clean and regular maintenance and shit like that, obviously you don't want your car to rust out. But looking at your car, oh, I just got it washed and it rained. Oh.
Well, I mean, a car's a big sticker item. And, you know, it's not easy to be able to afford a car. A lot of people don't have cars. And, If you have the money and the opportunity to get yourself a new car, wouldn't you want to keep it as close to its original condition as possible?
I see your point. I just don't have that affinity with a car. I don't have that feeling for a car. I don't.
Well, how old's your car?
It's a 2003 Honda Accord. The EX. Okay, don't get it twisted, Jeff.
Yeah, I see your point there.
Excuse me.
But I mean, if you had like a sports car or like a nice German import, wouldn't you want to keep that nice?
But I'm not the type of person that really cares about having that.
I'll give you a break.
I'm not.
And you're telling me if this radio thing takes off, you wouldn't upgrade the vehicle?
No, I would not. Not in the
least. Like Larry David in his Toyota Prius.
I would have a car that's comfortable and has all the amenities I need. Not necessarily looks like anything. I wouldn't want to spend a ton of money on a fucking car.
You're saying if cost wasn't an issue, you wouldn't buy the luxury items? Like if you didn't have to worry about paying for it, you wouldn't get yourself like a Ferrari?
I would buy luxury items where in the areas I'm concerned about. I would have a nice house. I would have...
House?
Dude, my house, dude.
You want my house?
I would have, you know, the best technology, you know, all that shit. But a car to me, you know, fuck it. I really don't give a shit.
Do you keep your computers clean or your stereo? I mean, what do you value that you know you wouldn't allow to become dirty?
Living space and technology. And also, I mean, you may notice that I have a cell phone cover. Boom. Black cloth. You know why? Don't want lint in the screen. I give a shit about my phone. Fuck a car. It just gets me where I have to go. That's it. Basic maintenance and that's it. I'm not going to be obsessed if I have, you know, shit all over it. Or it rained. Oh, it rained and the tree shit went all over the paint. Oh. Not a big concern.
I mean, have you ever driven a really powerful car? Like, have you ever had a sports car? Have you ever driven a sports car that just makes you thrilled to drive it?
I to be honest, I've never driven a car that has made me thrilled to drive it. I hate driving personally.
What was the first car you owned, Kenny?
The first car that I owned was a luxury vehicle known as the Pontiac 6000 LE. Station wagon.
Oh my god!
With the artificial
you
wood.
You had a fucking station wagon.
With the artificial wood.
It was. You're fucking kidding me now,
Frank. Before you look down on me, let me just clarify that it had the maroon interior.
Wait, you had that wood paneling station wagon? That is the nerdiest of nerdness.
It was handed down to me. I didn't exactly go on a used car lot and fucking fall in love with this piece of shit.
Jeffrey, your first
one. I can top that, actually.
Jeffrey, your first one.
I had a Pontiac Trans Am because I wanted the Knight Rider car. So I went down to Tuckerton, New Jersey, found one on a used car lot for $2,000. Four of the eight cylinders worked, and you could turn the car on without a key. And you know it has those pop-up lights?
Yes.
Well, they worked independently of each other so that one pop-up would go up and the other would go down and vice versa.
Frank, is it nerdier to be handed down a wood-paneled station wagon or to make your best attempt at owning the Knight Rider car?
The Knight Rider car.
Yeah.
But if I could maybe just totally go off subject for a moment.
I'm sorry, Frank. Okay, what was your first car?
Mine was a Mercury Topaz.
Oh, and what do you drive now?
A Mercury Sable.
Mm, way to branch out. So what are we going to bring up next?
I had a Mercury Sable.
Yes, so did everybody.
I had an 87 Mercury Sable. The previous owner, instead of taking it to Mako, thought it'd be a good idea to paint the car without paint.
was the previous owner a cone-headed driving instructor? named Beldar. Nobody's gonna appreciate that.
I also had a 69 Corvette. It was how we say cherry, and that thing it burned rubber in the first 3 years. It was the most powerful car I ever drove.
Jeffrey, did your parents buy you your first car, Jeffrey?
Yeah, it was it was a Plymouth Sundance was my first car.
Okay. Jeffrey, you brought up an individual by the name of Larry David of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you seen the latest episode?
Oh, it's fucking horrendous.
Excuse me? You're kidding, right? It was probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV.
See, I'm two.
The last episode, it was fucking horrible.
I haven't seen the last two episodes, and feel free to ruin it because I'm done with the show. I'm done.
Well, the problem with the show is very simple, okay? The first couple of seasons, Larry would be put into morally questionable situations where he kind of leaned toward the dickish side. But, you know, you could see his point, right? Now they're just presenting situations that, like, you know, no one would ever side against Larry on. You know, like dressing inappropriately in the workplace.
Yeah.
You know, if the boss comes to you and says, you know, I don't find what you're wearing appropriate for this office, you go and you change into something that is. Like, and the fact that everyone sided with the girl, with the secretary who had an extremely flabby stomach and wore those, like, the little belly shirts, it made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
Jeff, the way he wrapped every little fucking loose end everything they discussed during the course of the show, wrapped it up all the end like a fucking finely gift packet. It's fucking genius.
They've
dude.
Been doing it. It's no longer fucking impressive.
You expect that to happen.
It's not impressive anymore.
Jeff, you didn't laugh when he was driving in that 1960s when they were, you know, dreaming in the 1960s, and you didn't laugh when in that getup he was in.
think, I'm not saying the show wasn't funny. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to judge Kerr by a standard, right, you're given the, you know, his tying things up neatly and so forth, the real meat of it is, how does this guy react to normal, everyday social situations that he puts himself in? And if he's going to present situations where, you know, they're so completely obvious how someone would act, and yet all the characters are contrary to normal logic, it doesn't work for me.
Hmm. I just can't get.
You don't think like if your boss came to you, Frank, with the way you dress, which, you know, let's be honest, inappropriate for any social situation, and asked you to change, that you wouldn't change it in a heartbeat?
Well, Frank's his own boss, and Frank should probably fire himself. I can't. I'm done with the show. I'm tired of fucking watching Larry David make out. It's just.
All right, yeah. I will say that probably one of the most vile things I've ever seen on television is a Larry David make out scene. He almost looks like Mr. Love Kim a little bit. They look at each other.
Stop bringing him up.
It's a common problem amongst writers to, especially ones that act in their own work, to write scenes where they get to make out with very good-looking women. It's more of like a vanity thing. I've done that like in college when I would write screenplays, and somehow or another there'd always be a girl that has to make out with the lead actor. Since I always had to fucking play the scenes, you know, it worked out great for me. But, you know, I understand your point. He is an attractive man.
Are you ever going to unearth these screenplays, turn them into videos that we can watch on thewhatshow.com?
You want to see my work?
Why not?
Put it, bad.
Let's see it. Put it on the whatshow.com. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, I'll try to track him down. I have a couple of them that I'm working on right now.
A lot of people
don't
notice, but Jeffrey is also a stand-up comedian. He does a wonderful bit about pendulum shit.
What?
You know, Frank, sometimes I wonder whether or not you're making fun of my stand-up set or if you actually were
I fucking laughed. I thought it was very funny. I'm not kidding around.
Frank, you know what Frank told me? He's like, did you even know he was a comedian? And then I go, yeah, I heard he did some stuff, and I heard it. He goes, yeah, you're lucky. That's what he told me. He said I was lucky for not having heard it.
That's a fucking lie.
I always thought about.
Oh, wait, hold on. I just got a text. I just got a text. Oh, it's from Frank. It says, seriously, Jeff is dog shit. What are you talking about?
You're a fucking liar.
I don't understand.
I think Jeff is funny. I think it was a funny bit. I've told him in the past that he should go back and do open mics. I'd be the person in the front row. I think he's a funny fucker.
I'd like to hear it. I think he's very funny on the What Show. I've never heard his stand up.
I'll tell you, maybe you know, at one of our upcoming Hear Us Talk events, maybe I will get up and do a little stand up for you. How about that?
I think I would love it. I would love it. I applaud. I'll join in on the applause. Sure.
Speaking of which, and should I bring it up, Ken, the conversation we were having last night about a certain location and of a certain event?
Well, I mean, think we should bring it up.
Let's bring up the idea, and then let's talk about possibility of the location. So, Jeff, you had an idea for a Hear Us Talk event involving all of the shows and the time of season. So, please continue.
Yes, I thought it'd be a good idea if we had a Hear Us Talk Thanksgiving dinner, where all the Hear Us Talk shows would sit down at the dinner table, and you know, we'd have equipment there, we would record it, we'd eat, we'd laugh, we'd have a good time.
Yes.
I initially thought it should be held at Alex's mother's house, because you know, it is Thanksgiving, and you know, it'd be good to be around if not. Her family, but people who knew Alex, and you know, it would be a nice way to spend that part of the year. And
I can't think of much better than her person sitting across from you stuffing your face.
Yeah, Frank always brings up the fact that you cough into tissues.
Excuse me, Frank.
Well, I can't imagine that she would really, you know, want to sit across from you as you're hacking your brown yellow bile into a fucking.
No, Frank. She invited me to spend the night at the wake.
Ooh. All right.
Whoa.
Not in a sexual way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. But listen.
Before
Jeffrey mentioned this, I took it upon myself to find a location. for this get together.
So yeah, Frank found a location immediately when he found out, and Frank.
Wait, why don't you tell him where you suggested we would have?
And we'll be eating, we'll be sitting and laughing and being comfortable. And Frank, you found a location.
Yes, I found a location, which I like to call the Cum Covered Factory, which is none other than Ed McGrath's apartment.
Ed McGrath's apartment with the cum stalactites on the fucking his cavern of jizz.
Yes,
I wouldn't mind it. I think that we should do it there. And
here's the reason why.
You want to hold it dinner at a place where Ed preps for his fucking his whore fest. Where he shaves his pubes.
Let me
and takes a shower
hold on.
So he can go out and
hold on.
Ladies of the night.
You're speaking about this guy's apartment like everything is caked with jizz. And hold on. And here he is right now. Ed McGrath, you are on the DJ New Style Show with Jeff and Germ Freak.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up, Eddie?
Well, I'm a little late to the show today. I was entertaining someone.
Was she a Puerto Ricano?
Yes, she was.
Jeff, are you still there?
What's a Puerto Ricano?
Oh, he is, okay. Well, what I wanted to say is, do you honestly think that this guy's going to spend thousands of dollars on furniture and lighting fixtures just to come on all of them? I mean, how fucking terrible do you think this guy is that his whole apartment is just smeared?
Imagine a naked Ed McGrath in his chair perusing photos for the evening's festivities.
He puts a beach towel down before he's
listen. We're not going to be eating green bean casserole on his couch. I mean, I find it hard to believe he's going to be jerking off on his kitchen table.
No, even I'm not that big of a pervert.
And Ed,
forgive me if I'm wrong, but Ed, isn't it true you've never had one of these whores in your apartment?
No, I just had one tonight, Frank.
Jesus Christ!
Oh, Christmas!
And
I think we should bring something. While we got him on the phone here, Ken, our disappointment in Ed McGrath regarding a particular something.
Yeah, I heard about that. I was
2 weeks
from Buffalo to Washington D.C. I've been a very busy man recently. But what I would like to do at this point in time is I'd like to bring attention to my Pal Talk camera. If you guys could take a look at it, Jeff's on here. And Ken's on here.
Okay,
and, some asshole isn't though.
I see your Pal Talk camera. I see the. Oh my god, that couch is covered with jizz.
This is a Walgreens bag, and I want to show you the what's inside of it. What is inside?
What is it? Take home AIDS test?
Is the Express HIV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ed is holding the Express HIV test system, next day results. He just picked it up.
Wait, it's really next time you can find out.
Shit!
You don't have to fucking mail this in?
Frank is going to be buying.
Gotta mail it in, Frank.
Frank is going to be clearing Walgreens of this product.
You know, it's good to know that I can find out whether or not my wife's having a baby or terminally ill disease in the same place.
What's my temperature? Am I pregnant? Do I have HIV? One aisle. Also, across from those products, electric shave.
Yeah. So yes, I will. Now this one and Ineffable Cause is bringing up in the Pal Talk room that it's HIV type 1 only. I don't understand.
What the hell is that?
I'm not sure what that means. Maybe someone could explain that to me. But it does say that it has greater than 99.9% accurate.
Is that just reflect for cold sores or something?
Now, are you going to do this on the show now? I mean, what do you have to do?
You do have to. I will read you the contents.
You don't have to jerk off on it, do you?
No.
Because you could just wipe it on your end table.
No, it does have.
It's important to me to know the results prior to dinner, though. If we do have it at your
place. Absolutely. That is a definitely given. I agree with that.
I mean, we are talking about Frank here.
He's opening the box.
And by the way, Frank, you told me you were going to kick in for this, so don't think I haven't forgotten that.
How much does an HIV Express home test cost?
It was $59.99.
Frank will pay with cash.
If I will pay.
You fucking asshole. If he's met with a death sentence, you will then give him $50.
Yes.
Thanks, Frank. You're all heart.
Hey, does it bother you that your wife, in addition to the cost of a whore, now an additional $70 to find out whether or not you're going to live a long life?
Well, who knows? I could get hit by a bus tomorrow anyway.
I mean,
so.
if you extrapolate that across, you know, 150 hookers, it's really just a small fucking monthly fee.
Yeah, really. So, all right. So, what it looks
drop
like...
Drop in the eight-filled bucket of water, eh, Ken?
Oh, man.
So, it's what it looks like is
scary.
That you prick yourself and you put some blood on a card and you mail it in, is what it looks
Frank,
like.
Frank, now, Frank, he's going to be opening his veins at this desk. Is that going to bother you? Being
you,
there.
You can't pee on it?
Yeah.
It's not a fucking piss on it and see if you have a plus sign, Jeff.
You get a plus sign or a happy face?
No.
Ed, are you doing this right now, Ed?
No, it shows a purple number 32 with a yellow background if
because,
you're positive.
Ed, how long do you till the results come in from that? Do you have to mail it out?
Yeah, it gives you a next day envelope, and then I think you go on a website and you find out. You know, in 2 days from when you mail it.
Give me the password to the website and I will find out. I will let you know.
Ed, are you going to open your veins now do it?
No, this looks a little too complex.
You hold up the parts to the test?
Yeah.
Okay, there's all kinds of packets, bags, envelopes.
Alcohol swabs.
Swabs, yeah, there's gauze pads. Band-aid. You need a gauze pad and a Band-Aid, apparently.
Yeah, this might not have been such a smart idea, but, you know.
Fucking serious business.
Wait. Have you fucked these girls without condoms?
Yes, he has.
Jeff,
not only has he fucked them, but he's had anal sex with no condoms with whores.
Unprotected whore anal.
And we are going to break bread at this AIDS fest.
Frank.
It's an AIDS festival.
If he gets a Magic Johnson face, then he's negative.
No, but Jeff, what is your opinion of Ed fucking prostitutes in the ass with no protection? Do you lose respect for him?
I have to pose the question to Ed. You weren't the least bit concerned about catching some sort of communicable disease?
Yeah, of course that enters my mind, but I just... My fucking Irish skin... and condoms don't fucking mesh, and they just they hurt, and I don't like them. I know it's no excuse, and I don't claim it to be. I just fucking hate the things with a passion.
You know, and I have to say this: I question any whore that would be comfortable having sex without a condom. I mean, you gotta wonder why she wouldn't take the necessary precautions.
Yeah, that's a fair argument. Is it stupid?
Unless she's got A, that's wish, and B, nothing to lose.
Hey, Jeff, as a Jew, would you rather withdraw from your 401k before the age of 59 or have unprotected whore anal sex?
That's a rough question. I'm going to have to go with the 401k. Sorry, I want to live.
That's a 10% penalty.
Jeff, on top
of taxes.
Do you lose respect for Ed Boy for having unprotected anal sex with whores?
No, I'm just concerned for the guy. And you know, I've met Ed many times, and I've always found him to be a nice, comfortable, charming guy to be around. And I don't understand, because, I mean, I can only imagine how much money he's spent on whores at this point. It's got to be in 3, the tens of thousands.
He said 23,000.
You know, I mean, I don't understand why you don't put, your money into, you know, finding yourself a real girlfriend.
It's laziness, you know, and it's something Frank can certainly relate to.
Ed, do you mind if I tell a story about what happened at the airport, or is that too deep?
Yeah, it's probably further than I want to go.
Okay, I apologize.
Jesus Christ, Frank. How many times are you going
to
do that?
If it turns out to be positive, what are you going to do? What's your next step? Are you still going to fuck whores?
No, that's not right. That's certainly not right, and I would not.
Oh, okay. That's not right.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
but I mean, I'm sure there's a group of HIV positive whores out there that cater to the HIV positive.
That's a possibility. That's certainly something to look at if that's the case.
Why is it something to look at or even consider?
Ed, I just want to know, did you ever have to knock on wood? Ed has an at-home HIV test. He will be doing the test tonight after the show. The Express HIV Type 1 at-home prize consolation kit.
But we have to find out what Type 1 means. I mean, I don't want him to test for a cult, for fuck's sake.
Type 1 is where you have a germ-obsessed friend who gave it to you.
Hey Frank, if Ed's test comes back positive, will you still hang out with him?
That's a
no. That's a no, Ed. You can write him off.
I don't know.
That's a no. And you know what, Ed? We haven't really hung out all that much, but you might want to you might want to hang on to those memories.
Well, no, I will say
no offense, buddy.
One time, me and Eddie went to an eatery one time, and he accidentally spit on my food. But the food was so fucking good, I ate it anyway.
Now let me ask you something. If he comes back positive, are you going to question your own purity?
I will go for a test myself.
Well, now you just go to Walgreens.
You knew he was going to say that.
Of course.
Frank, you wouldn't even be able to shake his hand, right?
I can do is talk.
Now anyway.
Pardon me, Jeffrey.
Or can you not now anyway?
No. Well, I don't know if I've ever shook his hand. No, I don't think so because we're almost at the end. What's the point? You know what I'm saying? Let's see what. But let's get back to our original discussion, which we haven't resolved yet, as far as the place to have this event at. We didn't finish our discussion.
Yeah, let's wrap that up real quick.
So I suggested the Cum Factory, which is Ed McGrath's apartment. I've been there once. It's a pretty big apartment, a big kitchen. Although the bedroom is sealed off. But I think it would be a nice place. And all of us, of course, Jeff last night said it's good. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing that he's already bitching and complaining about it.
Unless I get those suits from Outbreak, I don't see how I can eat there.
All right, if he's HIV negative, will you go there then?
Here's the thing, right? We're debating on whether or not to have dinner at a person's house who has to take an HIV test because he's not sure. Don't you think that raises some flags?
I think we should only have white and red foods. We should just have cranberry sauce and mashed potatoes, so you don't know which fluid might be present. Beets and fucking candied radishes. Hold on. We have a caller here, 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Ed, Jeff, and a bald person. Who's this?
It's Mike. Ken, how are you?
Mike from Queens. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, that one. Not bad. How are you? Good. But no, as far as the speculation, as far as, you know, Ed, you can make all the jokes you want about, you know, how many prostitutes he sleeps and the ancient artifacts made out of cum that are in his bedroom. But really, when it comes down to it, not only scientifically, sure, like, obviously you can't catch anything from it, but even this judging about his moral responsibility or irresponsibility for not using rubbers with whores and worrying about, aren't you scared that maybe you're going to spread it with someone else one day? Like, really, if you're so fucking responsible, then you're always wearing a condom, so you have nothing to worry about. Why are you breaking this guy's fucking balls for having rubberless sex with some goddamn whore for money? If you're covering your bases, then why is it your business?
Yeah, I think they might be saying it's their business because the plan is to consume squash, squash and turkey at his house. But I completely agree with you, though.
So you're saying that Ed, that when Ed makes food, that he ejaculates on it?
Well, I mean, you know Ed. But no, I do see your point, Mike. That, you know, honestly, they can't fucking, you know, come at him like he's subhuman because he does what he does. Because, you know, if they're completely clean, then they should have nothing to fucking say.
Hey, Ed, I have
more than you.
No, go ahead.
I mean,
Frank actually, you know, do I judge him? I don't judge him. I don't look down on him or anything like that. I'm just concerned for his personal safety.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these are people that sleep with other people. Yeah. Quite often.
I'm concerned for the whales, but that's their fight.
Listen, he's trying to lose weight.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, whatever. I'm not going to sit here and break this guy's fucking balls, man. This is what he does. It's one of the things I love about him, and not only is it what I love about him, but it's one of, like, when he talks about what he does, not only is it what a lot of people do, it's a lot of what people without money dream to do. Just to go out, like, yeah. There's so many lonely guys with no money who really are at the point where they don't even, it's not even about some kind of, like, they're getting with a whore and fantasizing it with a girl. Like, they just love being with whores. I'm not speaking on Ed's behalf. You know, I don't claim to understand where he comes from psychologically. But Ed sleeps with whores. There's no lying in him.
Yeah.
He's not trying to sugarcoat it. He sleeps with whores, and he does it with no rubber. And what he does with his money is, this is what he does. He buys an HIV test.
Yeah.
Like, if it, and you know, there's responsibility right there.
Some people are going to wait. Some people are going to wait and buy the next Call of Duty. Ed buys an at-home HIV test. It's his call.
Ed, are you going to wait to get the results before you have sex again?
Well, yeah, I'm not doing anything
Ed.
Between now and I will not look at the results. I have to look at the test a little bit more to know if it's either through the mail. I'm guessing you just log into a website.
Ed, please tell me the procedure for when you were purchasing this. How embarrassed and mortified were you?
Well, it was a good thing. It was Sunday. It was Sunday evening. I was on the way home, and I stopped at a totally empty Walgreens. There's really not very many people. So I went up to the counter. One male pharmacist. I asked if he had it. He handed it to me. I paid for it out the door. So
it's yeah. you didn't even try to match the purchase with like candy bars or something like that. Well, how do you mask it? No, it's not for me. It's for my daughter. What are you going to say?
Oh!
It's an HIV test. It's pretty clear that you've had unprotected sex.
No, but I used to do that with condoms. Like I would buy like chips and a soda and maybe a candy bar and then like, you know, try to slip the condoms in there as if scanning the purchase.
Yeah, I would like these Cool Ranch Doritos, mint flavored toothpicks, and this at home HIV test, please, and also a Barbie doll and lube.
Yeah, the one ironic part is that I almost bought a pack of condoms with it for knowing that I had this going on today, and I thought that would probably be a little weird. Pack of condoms, HIV test.
Well, but, Ed, I think Pristine deserves a spot at the table. You know, for coming out in defense of you, you know, telling people to, you know, basically shut your mouth. You know, it's none of their concern.
I'm here to talk family as much as anyone.
Yeah,
and I
gotta
be honest, as much as I kid around with Ed.
Adopted.
I like Ed a lot, and I care about him, and that's why I want him to be safe, and I hope he stops this unprotected activity.
I need to stop that. I didn't do that tonight, so that's a good thing. It's something that I need to stop.
So, Mike,
would you say it's more of a compulsion, or just something fun to do? Like, are you compelled to have sex with prostitutes, or? You just kind of bored and you feel like doing it that night.
No, it's like it kicks in at some point and you're like, I need to go take care of this.
Yeah, I mean, think about how often you want to jerk off. For him, it's not jerk off. It's go find you know, somebody who's down on their luck and hand them money for and jizz.
That's what I'm getting at. It's jerking off, except he pays for it. There's nothing like morally reprehensible. Like, he shouldn't sit here and feel guilt. And as you're saying, like, I need to stop. Is it for financial reasons, or do you feel like there's something about this that's just making your life not right? The fact that you partake.
It's kind of an empty feeling at the end. It's good while you're doing it. You know, there are certain people that, you know, I'm feeling good when I walk out of the room. Usually, I've only had someone here. This is only the second time. So, you know, when you walk out of that room, it's just in that walk of shame out the door.
Was she on your bed, Ed?
Your she
bed?
Was,
Ed, did she spit it out into the bathroom
How
sink?
How was her walk of shame?
No.
Hey, Eddie, have you ever taken these girls on like a real date, like after the movies or dinner, like prior to having sex with them
for duck pin bowling and pizza?
No, there's really no point in that.
Ed,
you know,
Ed,
you bring one of them to the next Labor Day Harris Park barbecue.
Oh my God, Ed, I would love it. Would you do that, please? Please go on a...
We'll all chip in, Ed. We'll all chip in.
Please go on a whore date at one of our events. Please.
Well, I have no problem doing that. It's just finding... I'm not sure... Really, the one person, the regular person that I think would do it, lives in South Carolina now. It's just a matter of...
You
I would
get
do it.
Stepping.
But I don't think...
You've got about 10 months to go.
There you go.
Ed, listen to me. Ed, did this one...
Your
did
name
she
is
spit
Susan.
It, did she spit Susan. It in the bathroom sink?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
Did she spit it in the bathroom sink?
No, it went in a condom, Frank. I jizzed in a condom.
Okay, final thing. Ed, are you into having this Thanksgiving event? Not event, but special thing that we're doing.
Yeah, I can do that. And maybe it will appease Jeff that if everyone brings the food and it's not prepared in the cum factory... Maybe that will.
Ed, not only will we pay for the whore, but can you get her to cook something and bring it?
No, get her to come to the Thanksgiving Cum Factory Fiesta.
Yeah, she could be like walk around with drinks or something like that. And you know, Ed, can I make a special request?
Sure.
Drop cloths.
I got it. I don't know about anyone else.
Not that funny, Frank. Frank has a fucking seizure of laughter at the stupidest shit.
Oh God! If it was only a real seizure.
Yeah. Oh, we have to do this now with the whore.
Okay. Yes. It's now in stone.
You gotta find the skankiest whore you can find.
And just tell her it's a meal, and that's it.
That.
And make her eat in the hallway. Anyway, Ed. Ed, I appreciate it. I really do.
All right. Results next week, friends.
Next week we will find out if Ed has type 1 HIV.
And not only that, but we will find out if we will also find out.
Jesus Christ. The box on this thing looks like a fucking software box for Harvard Graphics in 1994. It's a fucking pie chart and bold fucking aerial text.
Ken, if I could interject, we will also find out next week if we will ever meet up with Ed again.
That's
ever.
True. Mike, do you have anything you want to say, buddy?
I just thought you already said it about the graphics in the box. And there's also perforations, actually, a pull tab here sign. it's really pretty streamlined as a product. I'm very impressed. It doesn't take much know-how or anything like
yeah.
that. You just in and you're out. Ed, much respect, man. And not for nothing, Ed, really, in a way, kind of, honestly, though, is like a hero to me.
I agree.
Is like a hero for what he does. And Ed's not, that test is going to come out negative. It can't happen to him. I'm telling you right now, it can't happen.
He's invincible.
That's all hope.
I would. He would be more a hero of mine if he did a YouTube unboxing video. My first AIDS test.
I will say that it would be a little anticlimactic if he is negative.
Yeah, it would be. But I don't want him to die, Frank. So, unlike you.
I'll try not to disappoint you, Frank.
Frank and his...
It's for the show, Ed. That's a good idea.
Yeah, Ed, it's for the show, Ed, so think positive.
Yeah, your poor decisions are show prep that'll last 10 years. Thank you very much.
I'm thinking negative, actually, on this one.
Think positive.
Anyway, I think we got to wrap up the show. Thank you very much.
Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
Later.
All right.
Thank you. You know, I really... I'm looking forward to finding out exactly what's going on with Ed and his test. But Frank, I think we should definitely do the Thanksgiving thing.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it, indeed. This was episode 230 of the DJ New Style Show. Why not go to DJNewStyleShow.com, download everything we've ever done, read everything we've ever written, tweets, blogs, whatever. You need them. Trust me. You don't, but you need to pretend that you do. Frank, thank you for being a part of this, buddy. I appreciate it. And also to your special intern, Ababara, thank you. Thank you to Wes for calling in. Frank, is there anything you'd like to say?
But this is on.
Yeah, no, shut up. You're talking to a fucking sign. No, you be quiet. I miss you guys. We need to get together. I'm going to kick all your friends' ass. Outside, outside, outside. Wani, it can pack a real punch. It's sticking. Barb, you were right. Ken, is there anything you'd like to say?
You're an asshole, fuckface. Shit, I can't even bet on the double damn window, because that's what I goddamn do. Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
Go suck banana, fuck you.